going to talk about persecution. If there is no battle, there can be no victory. I don't know if you realize, but Christians around the world get persecuted. We get off pretty easy here in this country, but in the country of Sudan, there's been pretty much an ongoing war for many years. There, the south and the north is mainly Muslim, the south is mainly Christian and animist. That is, there's some animists who they're not Christians. But there's been a war there. And this was 10 years ago, and they sort of reached some kind of a truce, but I think the truce is probably a very tenuous truce. But 10 years ago, it says Sudan's militant Muslim regime is slaughtering Christians who refuse to convert to Islam. The forced conversions are just one aspect of the Khartoum government's self-declared jihad on the mostly Christian and animist south. Villagers in several areas of the northeast Upper Nile region say that when women are captured by the government, the forces they are asked, "Are you Christian or Muslim?" Women who answer Muslim are set free. But if you say Christian, typically the soldiers will gang rape those who answer Christian, then cut off their breasts and leave them to die as an example for others. So in case you think that Islam is a peace-loving religion, it's not. It's not. But my point is to say that Christians pay for their faith in many parts of the world. In Indonesia, there was a spate here several years ago where the Muslims, Indonesia's largely Muslim nation, were going on a rampage, destroying Christian churches, burning them, and burning Christian homes down. But gradually, in our country, things are starting to warm up too. Just for example, last fall, someone in the California town of San Juan complained because their neighbors who are Christians were holding a Bible study in their home, and they had 50 people in their home. And so the city council made a rule that if you have 50 people in your home, you have to get a government permit. Okay? Now, just this spring, they're starting to reconsider that law. They fined this couple of $100 initially. The couple wouldn't pay it. Then they fined them another time, $200, and they haven't paid that either. So it's working its way through the courts. I'm just saying that persecution is coming closer in our country. It's not really here yet, but it's getting closer and closer. All right, because we have so little time left, I'm going to just walk you through this passage, and when we get to a critical area, I want to read it. Acts 16:16-40, there was an exorcism. Paul and Silas were talking about Jesus in the city of Philippi, and a demon-possessed girl started following them around. And she kept saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And she kept doing this day after day after day. And finally, Paul got so annoyed with what she was doing that he said he commanded the demon within her to come out. And the demon came out. And then we had a problem. Well, before we get to the problem, we'll talk about some applications to live by. Sometimes serving Jesus brings us into head-on conflict with Satan. Not always, but sometimes. Now, who knows why it happens? Who knows why Paul and Silas met this demon-possessed girl, but they did. And sometimes problems will happen. They'll creep up, and Satan will try to derail your ministry. Only Jesus has the power to overpower Satan. And Paul, using the name of Jesus, was able to cast out demons from this girl. Well, there was retaliation by the owners. In verses 19 to 21, they had an economic motivation. If the girl can't tell fortunes anymore, they have no way to earn any money. And they got steaming mad. And they dragged made a citizen's arrest of Paul and Silas and took them before the local authorities in the assembly area. And they made all kinds of false accusations against them. They said they were Jewish. Well, that was true. But they said they were preaching a religion that is against the laws of Rome and against our tradition. If you know anything about Christianity, that is completely untrue, because Paul wrote a letter to the Romans and told them in chapter 13, you have to obey the powers that be. The government is God's servant. You've got to obey him, and you've got to respect him, and you even have to pay your taxes. So to say that Christianity is incompatible with Rome was a completely false accusation. An application to live by. Unbelievers may put up with Christians until they start losing money. Money speaks, and when people's pocketbook gets hurt, they'll lash out. And so if someone's getting hurt in the pocketbook and they think Christianity's behind it, they'll lash out at Christianity. That's exactly what happened here. When unbelievers take offense at Christians, they often don't bother to tell the truth. They'll only tell the part of the story that supports their viewpoint. And that's exactly what happened here. They did not tell these people did not tell the truth about Paul and Silas. Well, in verses 22 and to 24, there's a trial and a punishment. The judges of the city tore their robes when they heard the charges that had been brought against Paul and Silas, and they commanded them to be beaten. So with whips, they were beaten across the back, and they used some extra security precautions. They put them in jail, and they put them in stocks. Not only were they in jail, not only were they beaten, but they had stocks on their feet, and they couldn't go anywhere. They were completely in prison. So my applications to live by. The world is not concerned if Christians are treated unfairly. It doesn't bother the world at all. If our country discriminates against Christians, which it started to do more and more, that doesn't bother the unbelievers at all. I think it's quite fair. For example, recently the Obama administration made a ruling that all insurance organizations have to pay for birth control, contraception, and abortions. It doesn't make any difference if you're a religious affiliation or not. You have to do it. And they think it's perfectly logical. They don't think Christians are being treated unfairly. They think that everybody ought to be treated the same, and nobody ought to have any right to object to that. 44 Roman Catholic bishops have filed a lawsuit against the government. I hope they win. Don't expect to be fairly treated by unbelievers because you're a Christian, because you won't be. And if you're treated unfairly, the world's not going to give you any sympathy. There was divine intervention. I'm going to take the time to read this. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 28. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. That was their activity. And they were singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. In verse 26, there was an earthquake. Suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Reaction, verse 17. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. As a Roman warden, if the prisoners escaped, it was his life for theirs. But, stop, yelled out Paul. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. All right, some applications to live by. Whoops. First of all, when you're treated most unfairly, that is the time to praise God the most. Here, Paul and Silas were Romans. They should not have been beaten. They should not have been imprisoned. They should not have been put in stocks. It was a wrong verdict. They didn't get a chance to give their fair share of it. The other side, the authorities bought into completely what the other side was saying, and what the other side was saying was not even accurate. And they could have, Paul and Silas could have been really, really depressed and angry at God. But they weren't. They were singing praises to God while they're in the stocks, couldn't even dress their own wounds in their own backs. They were in prison and tightly secured, but they're praising God. That's the time to praise God the most. Okay. And when you can honestly praise God amid hardship, look for God to intervene. Look for God to intervene. When things are going the worst and you're praising God the most, look for God to intervene. Now, here's a caution. Never dictate to God how or when He must intervene. You can't tell God how He's supposed to intervene. That's His business, not yours. God intervenes in His own way, in His own time. The fourth section, verses 29 to 34, salvation. A fearful entry, verse 29. He, the jailer, called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Silas and Paul. And he asked a very perceptive question, verse 30. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they gave a simple answer, verse 31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." The implication that is, if this man believed and his household believed, they'd all be saved. Further explanation, verse 32, they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. So they gave everybody, this man, the jailer, and everybody in his house, a moral, thorough explanation of how they could be saved by trusting in Jesus. The jailer's response in verse 33 to 34, he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. So he gave them some therapy. Secondly, he was baptized, he and all his household. Now the baptism didn't save them. The baptism was a sign, an outward sign, a critical sign, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a sign of what you've already done. It doesn't save you, it tells people you're already saved. Hospitality, verse 34. He brought them into the house and set food before them. And lastly, he rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. So he had great joy on account of his faith. All right, some applications to live by. First of all, hardship for Christians creates opportunities for salvation for non-Christians. So when things aren't going well in your life, say, whoa, maybe God has someone who's going to get saved. Find eternal salvation through this. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. Someone got saved. Salvation is simple. Don't make it complicated. Don't add to what the Bible says. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Don't make it more complicated than that. The focus is on King Jesus. Will you trust Him or not? He is a king, by the way. And kings are not used to getting votes on whether they'll be obeyed or not. You need to understand Jesus is a king. Either you trust this king or you don't. If you do trust the king, then you'll obey him. But the trust is what gets you saved. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." Grace means it's a free gift. You don't earn your way to heaven. It's a gift, and you accept it by faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The faith itself is a gift of God. Not of works, verse 9, so that no one can boast. God will have no braggarts in heaven. I did so much good works, I deserve to get here. None of that there. It's all by grace through faith. For, verse 10, you have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that you ought to walk in them. So the works are the result of salvation, not the cause of the salvation. The sequence is, I must tell the good news about King Jesus. The person must believe in King Jesus. And God must transform that person's heart. That's the sequence. Now, vindication, verses 35 to 40. Verse 35, the officials gave some instructions. Okay, let these guys out now. And the jailer reported to Paul. Jailer says, you can go free now. And the officials do, the judges. Paul said, hold on. They came. They have beaten us in public without trial. We are men who are Romans, and they've thrown us into prison. That's against Roman law. You can't do that to Roman citizens. Now they're sending us away secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and bring us out. So the policemen reported us back to the officials, and the officials were afraid when they heard they were Romans. So verse 39, they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them, would you guys please hush and get out of our city? And so in verse 40, Paul and Silas did. All right, some applications to live by from this section. Sometimes the unbelievers who have mistreated us will be forced to admit that they were unfair. Not always, but sometimes. But that won't undo the pain we have suffered for Jesus. Won't get you your money back, won't get you your pain back, your humiliation. Never give up on serving King Jesus. Go on to the next opportunity. Because you know what Paul and Silas did? They left this town and they went to the next town and started talking to them about Jesus. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't let hardship excuse you from serving the King. All right, let's sum up this whole passage very quickly. When you serve Jesus, you are fighting a spiritual war. So expect to be in a battle. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't expect life to go smooth. You're in a war. Sooner or later, your enemy will try to nail you. He'll try to nail you. When he lashes out at you, it will hurt. Don't be surprised when it hurts. Sometimes the law, I mean the human society, the law will work in your favor. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes it won't. Don't let that stop you from serving Jesus. Don't stop praising God even in jail. Don't stop praising God even in jail. And look for God to save people even in jail. You know, I don't mean literally jail, but whatever hardship or confining circumstance you find in, don't stop praising God and look for God to save someone. Lastly, never quit serving King Jesus. If I were to put this sermon in a nutshell, it would be this. If there is no battle, there will be no victory. If you're serving Jesus, you're in a war. You can't have a victory if you don't have a battle somewhere along the line. So expect battles, but expect to conquer them through Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this day for all you've done. We thank you for your love and your care for us. We thank you for giving Paul and Silas the courage to keep on going, even when they were really abused and their civil rights were completely violated, but that didn't stop them from talking about Jesus. Help us to be of the same ilk as Paul and Silas. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.